You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
But in our next story. Kia tau te rangi mari e, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai au e awhinei I a tātou, tihei Māori ora.
This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
This week on The Green Desk, Jack talks with Mikhail Prokopenko, a professor of computer science at the University of Sydney, about creating cities with multiple city centres to cut down commute times. Jack spoke with Prokopenko about how his computer models may help us understand the unintended consequences of transforming our cities, and even details a blueprint on how we can build a better city here in Auckland.
We basically try to model a transition or transformation from our current state, which is more monocentric, as people say, when you have one well densely populated CBD and then urban sprawl radiating from this CBD, to something else which many people have thought could be a future model, which is called polycentric, with multiple sub-centers. And in fact, Greater Sydney Commission just a year ago put forward the plan for a tripartite metropolitan area. So we thought basically, okay, I mean, that's a good plan, and that will solve a lot of issues that many Sydneysiders face every day, like long commute time and in general some urban sprawl issues. We thought, okay, I mean, how do we go about studying what is possible as a transformation from the current state to this future? And in doing so, we wanted to really take into account a lot of factors, you know, income flow, rent, available services, different population statistics. So we looked at the recent Australian census data and thought, can we extract some information from this data and then put some dynamic modeling, quantitative modeling into that? I mean, how do you measure attractiveness of suburbs is a very difficult question. Mm. You could develop a very sophisticated model which takes into the account everything from landscapes to ecology to economy to many other issues. But we wanted to have a concise model, fairly crisp, so that you could make recommendations narrowing down to some major key variables. So obviously we looked into the financials, income flow and rent, but we also looked at available services, and by that we mean essentially services which again we could extract information about from the census data, shops, different other services. Which information is available, that's what's the value of this data-driven approach. And we essentially put forward the conjecture that people have some social disposition towards living in places where other people settle. So attractiveness is also defined by this social factor in addition to financials. But in doing so, you can't really assume that the more people there are around you, the more attractive it is, because at some point it exceeds the normal limit, so to say, and then too many people around you is the disadvantage rather.
If you could name kind of three things that would work to improve the attractiveness of a community or suburb, what could a suburb do or a city do to improve one space and three metrics?
I would start with the social cohesion, I would say. The second factor would be rent. I think that's fairly clear. And third would be the transportation, essentially reachability to employment center where people live. Again, using the census data, we can look into the travel to work reachability, so to say. And the Greater Sydney Commission plan was actually centered on that idea, that we want to live within 30 minutes, half an hour from where we work. So that 30-minute city was the main motivation, but doing so is actually quite difficult. What we did find was that one factor, the social attractiveness, social disposition, so to say, is much more important than the travel impedance. That is basically the tendency to pay attention to your travel budget. Everybody's complaining, I mean, we live so far, we spend so much time on commuting and so on. But what we found, given the particular details of the census data in Sydney, that the first one is much more important. The social attractiveness is more important to people. than the travel budget, pretty much. If say that you forced to change your attitudes somehow to how you live with within your communities, that would affect your decision making on where to resettle much more than say if your travel budget shifted.
Mm. Do you think like the certain kinds of transport contributed to this? Because somewhere in Auckland, we've got quite poor public transport. So I imagine if people are clogged up on motorways, they would be more inclined to choose somewhere closer.
You see, this is still a little mystery for us as well. What exactly are the reasons for the travel impedance being of a lesser influencer? It might be related to a particular topology of our network, or it might be related to some specific established patterns of settlements which are already somehow semi-optimized. That we will explore by looking into specific travel patterns on the road, on buses, on ferries, on subways. So that is still an interesting question. But in general, I think it is quite safe to say that people would pay a lot of attention, maybe major attention, to their social interaction patterns, even above the travel budget.
Well, I normally tell people when I came to Sydney for the first time, it was actually the best public transport experience I've had in my life, because I flew in, got straight on the train into town, and then jumped off at the Rocks, and then got the ferry over to Manly, and it was almost like taking a scenic route. You got to hang out in the water, go. It was just very relaxing and nice, but I'm sure not all transport options are going around the Sydney Opera House and getting to see the nice parts.
Yeah, there is a nice feel about Sydney transport connectivity, in the sense of that multiplicity of modes. Indeed, you could, jump on a bus and on a ferry. Obviously, the main factor that people are unhappy about is the length of the commute. For example, I take about an hour to get to the university from the place where I live. I drive a little, and then I get on a train, and then I walk, which is fine. But if it goes beyond 1 hour, obviously it makes people very unhappy, and they would prefer to work closer. That's the idea about the tripartite arrangement, that you bring employment closer to people rather than ask people to commute over longer times.
Mm. Just finally, are there any integral lessons you think just other cities or New Zealand and Auckland could learn from your experiences?
I think the main advice I would give at this stage is that whenever a major plan is put forward or transformation is being considered, people need to put some effort into quantitative analysis with some simulation of what-if scenarios and looking into complexities of interdependence. So if you want to improve one piece of infrastructure, you need to think about how will it impact on others, because sometimes you get this cascading effect that one change might be beneficial, but ramification, but an indirect effect could go somewhere else and make something else worse. So that would be main advice, to look at complexity of all these interrelationships, interconnectedness, because as the cities grow, they build up on existing infrastructure and they have to deal with multiplicity of issues. So resilience has to be the main factor that people should look into.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Ora.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.